Okay, good evening. Shana Tova, everyone. Gmar Chatima Tova. One day before Yom Kippur, less than 24 hours, and what could be better than speaking about davening, importance of davening? But I'm not here to talk about only davening for Yom Kippur. We talk about davening in general for the rest of our life. And we see that to daven to Hashem on a routine basis every day, to repeat 5,000, 10,000 times, repeat it every day the same, it's not an easy mission. It's actually sometimes getting harder and harder. And the question is, what's the point? What's the point of repeating like a recorder again and again and again the same thing? It's like, imagine if your son comes to you every minute and he wants something. Every minute he comes and he gives you the whole speech now. 1 minute speech. He wants a bicycle. Then 2 hours later, again and again and again. 10 years, 20 years, same thing. You get tired of it. The question is, how do we know we do the right thing? There's a lot of questions about it. We're going to go by the right order. And if we have some time, then I will basically tell us all the blessing of the Shmona Esrei, which is 19 blessings that we have, who made it, and what's the sources of each bracha. Because it's not so simple. It's not like a committee of rabbis said, Anshei HaKnesset HaGdolah, and they all decided on the spot, of course. But where they got the ideas to make this order, what's this word, minim, zedi, modim, all this, the whole concept of the davening, maybe we get some deepness of it. The first question is, first of all, what's the purpose of praying to Hashem? What's this whole concept is? You know, from the Torah, really from the Torah, before the Chachamim came into the picture, it was enough for a person to talk to Hashem one time a day in his own language and finished. You know, anytime you want, not necessarily Shachris, Mincha, Mayriv, anytime you want. Now at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're in a good mood, you feel focused, you talk 3-4 minutes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love you, thank you, I appreciate everything you do for me, I'm very grateful, please give me A, B, C, D, E, F, G, thank you very much, goodbye, we'll talk again tomorrow. Yatzeh Lidei Chova. Finished. That's why most poskim say that women has to say one davening per day, right? Since it's mitzvah to say shazman grama, it's depend on time. There's time set for it. So therefore, you know, they're not obligated. But from the Torah, since from the Torah every human being is obligated, so one time a day. Some poskim say no, since already. It's already routine, you know. So since Arvis used to be Reshut, so Mincha, Shachrit and Mincha, women has to do. So it's Machloket HaPoskim, but from what I've seen, most Poskim say, one davening, it's enough. And she doesn't need the entire davening, really. If a woman just did Shmona Esrei, even if she didn't do Shema, Shema, she's not obligated. It's also Mitzvah Taseh from the Oaita. It's Metzuveh, it's Oseh Ve'eno Metzuveh, so she still gets Sachar. But she's not obligated. But really, if she does 18, finished. Today, Baruch Hashem, the Nashim Tzatkaniot, they do it, they do Tehillim, very good. So question number one, we're going to do it questions and answer, but the difference is that this time I'm making the questions, and I'm also giving the answer. Usually you wrote the questions, but today it will be a little bit more organized here. Question number one, why do we need to repeat all our prayers after HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows 100% what we want from Him, what we need, what's good for us? He knows. What's the point? A person, you want to tell your father what you need, you have to come and write a plan. I need this, I want to open a business, I will need this kind of money, I need you to back me up, you have enough money to give me, I want you to, you know, to sponsor this, to sponsor that, to give me your name, to open me a checking account. You have to tell him what you want, he cannot guess. Any other person, you come to your boss, but Hashem already knows, so what are we wasting our time talking? It's like, what's the point? He knows everything. So what is it? What's new by me telling him what I want that he didn't know? I didn't know what I want. He didn't know my desires. He didn't know I want a new house. He didn't know I want to replace my car from 2012 to 2014 already. Can't wait. He didn't know my stupidity. He knows. So what is it? So the answer to this question is that besides the request that we do and praising Hashem, you know, the tefillah if you realize that tefillah is divided to three departments, from the beginning to Ata Kadosh, you know, Ha'el Kadosh, Ha'melech Kadosh, is praising Matir Asurim, Ofeh Cholim, all the praises that you can give. Then the list of requests. You give all the requests, about 13 requests. Used to be 12, they added one more. All the requests. And then comes the last three, thank you. So what is it like? If you want, like the politicians, like the Israelis, they want United States to give them airplanes or to increase the budget. So how do they do? First, they bring this Obama, they bring him a gift, they bring him some kind of a Tanakh, I don't know, something, a picture, you know. And they tell him how great you are, I want to thank the president, how great he is, how much he's supportive, we appreciate, okay. Then you make the list of the requests, and then you begin, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's the normal way, everybody understands. So that's simple. But it's much, much deeper than this. First of all, tachlit, the tachlis of the Torah and the mitzvot, and of course the davening included in it, which is one of the mitzvot, is... What is it? Who knows? What's the tachlit? No, you shomer mitzvot from the day you're born. What's the tachlis of the Torah and the mitzvot? Oh, beautiful. Lagia ledvekut. Atem advekim b'Hashem Elokechem, chayim. Chayim kulchem ayom. So a person has to be davuk b'kadosh baruch hu. Davuk, devek. Devek comes from two things sticks together. Of course, okay, how can you stick to Hashem? We're talking spiritually, not physically, chas v'shalom. So, when a person expresses his feeling, his desire, his spiritual desires to his Creator, to Hashem, by speaking, he creates special communication with Him that will never happen only by feelings. Right? Irhur lav kedibur dami. Hirur, thinking, having feelings in your heart, but not expressing them by speaking, the power of speech, does not establish communication. Like if you have a friend, you like him, he likes you, it's only in the heart. If you don't say it to each other, wow, you're a great guy, I love what you do, I appreciate it, really, Hashem bless you, let's create million times better connection. So right away, the rule in the creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in this world spiritually is that words establish connection between people and nevertheless, of course, between us to Hashem. So the power of speech is above everything. Okay, then what? If a person has hirur, and then he say the opposite of his hirur, he has one bad hirur, bad thought, and then he say the opposite, what count in Shamayim? The words. Hirhur cannot be mevatel dibur, but dibur mevatel hirhur. So we see the power, it's much above. We see that the only species from 2 million things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the world that has the power of speech to talk in the same language that the creator of the world spoke is the Jews. Even the Goyim, they made up their own languages. Their languages is not spiritual. There's nothing in it. Hashem didn't say it should be light. He can say a million times it should be light. It doesn't make any impression spiritually. But if you say Vayehi Or or Yehi Or, it makes a great impression. Every word who comes out from a person's mouth can never be canceled. Whatever he created in the Olamot HaElyonim can never be erased. For good and for bad, unfortunately, also. Also for bad. So that's one thing. So, establishing connection, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reviving the heart, is only by speaking. You don't speak, that's it. Also, just because a person has thoughts, if he wanted to pray to Hashem just with thoughts, a person cannot control his thoughts 100%. He can try, but he cannot control 100%. If a person has to sit and focus 1 minute, try. Let's do it now, right now. 1 minute, try to focus on one word. You won't be able to. As soon as you begin to think about it, my wife, I have to buy her milk, my son, how many problems, I gotta call the school, I don't have money for the rent. Million things you think. So this is how your prayer would be. bless you, Hashem. You are the greatest. Oof, my wife, I forgot the milk. Hashem, we thank you. Forgive us, my son, the menahel, my car, flat tire. Thank you. Remember us, your madin, this salad. No. So the power of speech, even if you don't have in mind what you say, count. Okay, let's move on. What's the etza? What's the advice not to give up after we pray for hundreds of times or sometimes even thousands of times when we don't see results? Sometimes we see immediate results. You daven 1, 2, 3, 4 days, miracle happen. Wow, what the hashgacha. Just everything I asked for Hashem, 1, 2, 3, I got it right away. Sometimes 10 years you daven. 10 years. 10 years, and then you don't see results. So most people eventually would give up. Ah, what's the use? Anyway, Hashem is not listening to me. I'm a lost case. What's the point? Why, Moshe, come to davening. Ah, what's the point? I davened for 10 years for my situation. Did I get healthier? Only got worse. So what's the point? Who should I lie to? I better learn Torah. Bitul Torah. For me, davening is Bitul Torah. Ma, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai davened once every 3 months. He was in the hall, covered with his body, with his son, learning 3 months. Once every 3 months, they finish. You masechet, they do one davening, whatever the davening was, and finished. So the answer is, now we have to pay very careful attention. There's few answers that are coming up very, very critical for our future. One, there's a rule that Hashem made in the world that every request that you have for Him will need a different amount of davening for it. What is it like? If you have a cement wall, and let's say it's 1 foot thick, and you have a drill, and you begin to drill, 1 hour, half an inch. 3 hours, 1 inch, right? And then 2 more hours, 2 inches. And then all day, like you're already fainting. 20 hours, half of the wall. If you work for 3 days to make a hole in this thick wall, and after 2 or 3 days that you work, you still don't see the other side. The tachlis is to see the other side. Do you want to see what's over there? You don't know what's over there. So as long as you work, it seems that there's no results. I'm wasting my time, drilling, and nothing is happening. When everything will pay off, just when you went through. But you couldn't get to that situation before you drill. This is exactly how davening works. You see, when you want to make a hole in the ground, as soon as you begin, you take the shovel and you take some sand and throw it, right away you have results. 3, 4 inches already you have a hole. Right? Whatever the tachlis of this hole, you need a deep, not deep, but you already see results right away. But when you drill, you don't really see results. It's worthless, waste of time. So what? If I have 10 inches and the wall is 20 inches, if I have 19 and a half inches and I didn't go through, it was a waste of time. But that's not how it works with davening. Davening, you just need to have patience and in the end go through. That's one answer, but it gets much deeper. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 prayers to Hashem. If he would daven one more, Keminyan v'etchanan, Gimatria v'etchanan. If he daven one more prayer, which makes it 516, all his prayers would get accepted, expressed. That's why Hashem stopped him. Rav lach, enough, you have plenty. The Malachim say, he's rocking the whole place. What are we going to do with him? Hashem stopped him. Why? Why do you care? Let him daven. To daven is a mitzvah by itself. It's dvekus. Let him daven 5,000 times, 5 million times. You give him sachar for the words that he say. It's like another mitzvah and finish. Who say you have to give him what he wants? You don't want to let him enter because there's a rule in the creation that the tefillah lo shava rekam. What? But however, it could be 10 times, it can be 100 times, it can be 1,000 times, it can be more. In the end, you're going to reach the target one way or the other. And sometimes, if in your lifetime you did not come to the target, your children or grandchildren will receive it thanks to you, and that's going to give you lots of pleasure. Because you see that every word came out of your mouth wasn't a waste. So that's another thing. Then, sometimes a person feels that he's going down spiritually. You know, life is like in a stock market. It's never stay steady. Always moving, up or down, always on the move. Every second, every tenth of a second, every thousand of a second, there's some kind of move. Just like the death of the United States. You go to Manhattan, you see a number all the way from here to Florida, the number. But every second it moves. Did you ever see a second that it paused? Maybe if the computer broke. It always, always either up or down. It's never staying. That's the same thing, the situation of a Jew. Every second of his life is either up or down. Yashev batel kemeh dami. He's losing from his credit, sitting, doing nothing. What's with you, Moishi? Leave me alone. I'm tired. I'm relaxing. Losing time is going down. Next thing, he does something good. Oh, right away, the graph is going higher. So all his life is up and down, going up and down, going up and down. This is it. Now, what happens if a person is now crashing? Like sometimes there's crashes. 400 points. Boom, he goes down. Everyone panic, everyone crazy, people jumping from the windows. What's going on here? A person see that he loses control on his spiritual life. He is a big yerida ruchanit, which means he says to himself, what's the point now? Should I daven more now? Or should I give up davening until I stabilize my situation? And then when I feel that I'm not collapsing anymore, now let me start building myself up. Was any point on the way down when every day I'm worse than yesterday, and I lost my cheshek, no desire, I'm not close to Hashem, I'm far away, I'm depressed, I'm in sadness, I'm not in simcha, I cannot serve Hashem in the right way in my spiritual situation right now. So what's the point of standing and reading from the Siddur when I'm depressed of losing money or I have a bad son or something like that? What's the point? So the question is, should a person like this, imana mitfila, should he prevent himself from praying? Because we have a rule that if a person knows he cannot have kavana in the davening, he better off not pray. That's a rule. Many people don't know it and not practicing it. If a person comes now, it's time of tefillah. You lose the time of tefillah, but you cannot have any kavana. I heard that they said in a Chazonish that it used to be two, 3 days that I didn't daven at all for 3 days straight. No shachris, no mincha. What happened? I cannot focus on the davening. Cannot have kavana right now. Cannot daven. I want to daven. I'm anus. I cannot daven. My mind, either it's in sugya that I cannot for 3 days, cannot come up with the answer.
So you're saying the words. All right.
So that's what I'm saying. So the point is now we have to clarify this question. I'm not now. There's two different things we're talking about. We're talking about kavana, and we're talking about going down spiritually. It's two different things. Sometimes you can go down spiritually, but you still have kavana on the words. It doesn't wake up your heart, because you're very upset or very depressed, or you're upset at Hashem that he didn't give you the $10 million that you wanted, so you're very upset, so whatever the case is. So the answer is, the Ari explained the answer to this question. He says like this, Pana el tfilas a'ar'ar with ayin, velo bazat filatam. What's ar'ar? Ayin resh, ayin resh. What is it? Ra-ra. That's what it is. No, so what's ra? Ra, it's bad. What's ra? Even when a person is in a very bad condition right now, chayav lishpoch sicho lifno Hashem. Not only is not supposed to prevent himself from davening until he's stabilized, and this is the moment that is the most critical time for him, that he has to spill everything out from his heart in front of Hashem. Ve'adraba, when he's doing it, his benefits is double and triple that when he's in a good mood and he's on the way up. When he's on the way down, coming and speaking to Hashem and describing his situation and talking to Hashem with a broken heart, the benefit is much, much, much greater. When his heart is broken, we all know what we say in the Brit Milah, Lev nishbar v'nitke Elokim lo tifze. Lev nishbar, broken heart, nitke means down, like comes from the word dikaon. Dikaon means depression in English. But this is really, in the Lashon Kodesh, that's really not what it means. Nitke means that like someone push you down to earth. You know, you were here, and you went down. So you were in a hole, deep, down in a hole, and a broken heart. Elokim lo tifze. Ma ze bazui? Preventing it, not interested, pushing it away. So Hashem will never push it away. The opposite will be mekarev to himself. And the chance that the prayer will be accepted is much, much higher. When a person asks Hashem to take him out of the hole where he's in, Hashem, I'm deep in a hole now, please get me out of here. Hashem is very, very pleased from this tefillot, much more than when a person is very close to him, is on the way up. Someone that is already davek be Hashem, feels the light of the Torah, of the Shechina, and he davens to Hashem, very nice. But someone who's very far from Hashem and requests for Hashem to help me to get closer to you, turn everything around for me, somebody like this, tfilato ahuva arbe yoter b'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem desire his prayers much more than a person that is already very close to him. Unlike some people think. Some people think he's a holy tzaddik, connects with Hashem. His prayers are making great impression up there. You'll be surprised. Person on the way down, his yarmulke became leather the size of a quarter. His beard became, you know, a mirror. And slowly, slowly, his shirt starting to become red and pink, and everyone in the street shakes. What? Stay away from him. You'll be surprised. He may have a broken heart, and he cries to Hashem to save me. I'm collapsing. Look. Look what I was a year ago. Here's my picture. Look at me now. How long I will sink? Help me out. Get me out of there. If it happens or not, that's one thing. But actual, when a person is speaking to Hashem on the way down, is a very big thing. Now, we all know that without siyata dishmaya, even a small thing a person cannot do. We sometimes seem to think, I need to make a lot of money, otherwise I lose my house. So I have 2 weeks now, I got to come up with $50,000. What's the chance is going to happen? I don't make it in a year. I really need a nes galui. So I need a lot of siyata dishmaya. So he's fasting, reading teilim, crying. Moshe, come to eat lunch. No lunch now. All day. But we don't think that if I want to bang a nail to the wall because I want to hang the clock, so I also need to ask Hashem, help me. Big deal, take the nail and make a hole in a sheet rock. I can do it without the hammer. What siyata dishmaya I need? You'll be surprised. Without siyata dishmaya, I can break your finger. How many people by mistake hit the finger and then for 2 months they cannot write, they cannot type on a computer, they can lose fortune for a little thing that nobody thinks you need siyata dishmaya. Siyata dishmaya you need even to walk. You can trap, you can fall, you can break, you can be in cast for 6 months. Ice on the floor, all kinds of things. You need siyata dishmaya every second. Now, siyata dishmaya you need only for physical or also for spiritual. What do you think? We say, Akol bidei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim. When a person prays to Hashem, give me this, give me that, I need a car, I need this, I need whatever I need, right? I need money, the kids, yeshiva, tuition. All these things is money, materialism, fine. Does a person has to ask Hashem to make him a tzaddik? Make me a tzaddik. I'm tired of being a rasha. I'm tired of disappointing you. Help me to be, so what's the point? We say, Akol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. Your yirat shamayim is not in the hand of Hashem. It's only in your hand. So why are you bothering me? It's like coming to a lawyer and ask him to do your tax return. I came to the wrong, you want me? I'll help you with your number, with your trial. I cannot help you with the tax return. You're coming to the accountant, I want you to represent me in my murder trial. So you came to the wrong guy. I have no idea about this. So now if we have a rule, Akol bidei shamayim. I need a table, it's bidei shamayim. I need a car, it's bidei shamayim. I need a suit for Shabbos, it's bidei shamayim. I need yirat shamayim, it's in my hand. So why am I bothering Hashem? It's in my hand. Imen ani li mili. I came to Rav Kook. You know Rav Kook from Tveria? He has all these tzitziot on him, daven for 3.5 hours, 18. Half of his day is just davening. Very big tzaddik. He goes away to the mountains with his talmidim, comes every few weeks home. His wife is a big rebbitzin. She fills up 10,000 people in a lecture. The cook, everybody knows about him. I'm surprised you don't know. He's a cook from Tveria. He's also the, besides being a big tzaddik, he's also a big mekubal, everything, but serious one. I saw in my own eyes his avodat Hashem, not from the newspaper. I didn't read about him. I saw him in my own eyes for 3 days, do not sleep 1 minute, has a Gemara open in a seminar that we made. They invited him to give bracha for the seminar, that all these chilonim will make tshuva. And he was sitting with the big Gemara for 3 days straight in the same place, and he's not going to sleep, not eating, not anything. My own eyes I saw. And then he falls asleep like this, and here somebody walks, he gets up, he continues to learn, he hears Kaddish in the morning, he gets up, begins to daven, and he starts 18 years. You find him in the other side. 3 hours, literally 3 hours, he's davening 18. 3 hours, this Avodat Hashem that is in a million years, if we ever get to it, maybe we need a million years for it. So I asked him, that was about 16 years ago. I say, give me a bracha, Rav, give me a bracha. So he say to me, what bracha you want me to give you? I said, I'll be a tzaddik, that I have Yirat Shamayim, I'll win the Yetzer Hara. He said, no, that's not a bracha, that's a klala, he says. So why? What's the... They didn't understand. He said, it has to be difficult. You want me to make it easy for you, to give me a bracha? It has to be difficult. It won't be difficult. It won't be good. It's supposed to be always difficult. And it's 100% in your hand. In the end, somehow he gave me a bracha similar, something similar. But, so the question is, we have to understand, do we have permission to ask Hashem to give us Siyata Dishmaya in spirituality? Who will say we have permission for it? We have to clarify this in a few minutes. What happened now if there is already a decree that made against you, Chas V'Shalom? Hashem made a gzera, finished. Now we're after Rosh Hashanah. He signed it and sealed it. What? You have a $10 million business. This, by Nissan, it will become gurnished, zero. That's a gzera now. And you begin to see now, already a few days, tomorrow is Yom Kippur, business is collapsing, people quitting, this, investigation, what's happening? What's the point of davening now? If the decree is made and sealed, isn't it waste of time and maybe perhaps bitul Torah to stand and cry all day and crying? Might as well maybe learn Torah, at least you earn something. What's the point of praying for something that was decreed and sealed? If it's sealed, decree, gzera. Is any way to change the gzera? What do you think? Now I'm not talking, we davening because we don't know if it's a gzera or not. We have no way to know. But let's say if you have Ruach HaKodesh and you know there's a gzera, for sure. Right? Like Elisha ben Avuya, what did he hear? Shuvu, everyone except him. It's like a decree, he hear bat kol. But kulam muzmanim, everyone is welcome to do tshuva except acher. Right? And in the end, Chazal said, no, of course he couldn't do tshuva, but he had no siyata dishmaya. That's why Hashem made him hear it. You know? So the answer is, the Pele Yoetz explained that there are three different kinds of decrees, three gzerot. One is a gzera that nothing can ever change it. You can daven from now until the next world and nothing will help. Degree, signed, sealed, finished. Second, temporary gzera that will be dismissed eventually even if you don't daven for it 1 minute. You call the zeis. You lose, things are happening. I don't know, you're sick. For a few months you're tired, you're exhausted, you cannot walk, you have all kinds of problems, back problems, this. It's gzera. The term of the gzera was determined from X to Y, finished. With, without your begging, it will go away.
Begging won't shorten it. Begging.
Wait. Then the third gzera is that it's a pending gzera. So remember, one gzera, nothing will help. It's sealed, finished, it's over. For instance, someone's hand is chopped off. Now, you can pray until tomorrow. Hashem will grow a new hand. It's over. Here, it's clear to know. Okay, that's I'll have to finish my life without a hand. But if a person now got lo aleinu cancer, That could be one of the two. It could be that it's only Hashem wants it to be only 6 months and then he'll get out of it. Or it's pending. It depends how he behaves now. Hashem check him. Every week, he looks, okay, you know, this person gives his life for tshuva. I'm canceling the gzera. So the third kind is gzera שמלכתחילה נקבע עליה שאם יבקש האדם רחמים, תתבטל. ואם לאו, לאו. From the moment that Hashem made that gzera in Rosh Hashanah, it was already with a question mark. Depend on the behaving of this individual. If he's gonna put all his efforts to do tshuva, he gives a lot of tzedakah, he pray, he scream, he meshane makom, meshane shem, doing zikui arabim, I don't know, any kind of thing that can help. We have a list of things that can help. Hashem takes the gzera, finished. Why? You passed your test. That's why a person, since he does not know the gzera that came to me right now, which one of the three is not, safek deoraita lechumra. We're talking eternity here. We're talking, who knows, it can affect my entire life, this gzera. So what's the point? I have to be choishesh, that is the third kind, that it's up to me to cancel it. That's why sometimes we see, lo aleinu, a person that has a horrible sickness, and people pray for him, and they do all kinds of things, and in the end he recovers. Now, retroactive, we know that when Hashem made it, there was a pending gzera. Sometimes everyone pray for this boy. Everyone screaming, coming, blowing shofar, the kotel, atzeret, rabbanim, everybody cry. 2 days later he passed away. What happened? Everyone cried, thousands of people, the schut of all these rabbanim, everything combined couldn't save one individual? The answer is no. Why? It's the first kind. The first kind, even Eliyahu HaNavi cannot cancel. Even Avraham Avinu cannot, even Moshe Rabbeinu cannot cancel. Moshe Rabbeinu, once it's nigzar alav not to enter the land, nothing helped him. Nothing helped him. Moshe Rabbeinu, he has Datan and Aviram fighting against him. And Korach and all the 250 Rabbanim, they all come against Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe says to Hashem, please don't accept their, don't listen to them. Oh, I don't understand. What are you worried that he listens to them? Hashem chose you to be the leader. You did everything Hashem told you. Everything you do is based on the instruction of the boss. Now comes the Rasha, he's arguing, fighting, he wants kavod, he wants a place for himself. You have to pray to Hashem not to listen to this Rasha? We're not talking Melech Basar Vadam, that tomorrow is going to be maybe dizzy, drink lechaim, we forget. Who is Mordechai and who is Haman? We are not talking a case like this. Hashem is my backup. You send me on a mission. If I don't trust you, who do I trust? I have to ask the commander, hey, don't forget that you send me over here. Don't turn your back on me, no? What is this? Because the power of the davening, the power of the prayer, even this reshaim, which there are many, if they pray to Hashem to help them, even on a lie, even Migdal Bavel, they are united. They're all going to do something. Yeah, they have a power, even though it's negative force. Negative force, but the power of the prayers is so strong that Moshe was afraid that if they pray so much, maybe they'll have more schuyot than him, will turn everything around. Let's move on. So, the three different kind of decrees we understand. Now, why is davening is such an important principle in Judaism, in life in general? Why people disrespect that important principle? Once in a while, 1 out of 1,000 religious Jews are putting all their hearts and attention into the davening, never speak, come in a proper clothing, you know, they never daven without a hat, whatever. They make themselves some standards that this is davening for me. I really feel I'm speaking, I have a meeting one-on-one with the king of the world. How many people really feel it? Here and there you find all these tzaddikim, like the one we're talking about in Vishnitz, jumping, screaming, crying, broken heart, running around. You feel it. You can feel it. This is Dvekut. If this is not Dvekut in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no Dvekut here in this generation. This is it. Why we're not like this? Why 1 out of 1,000 or 1 out of 100,000 is like this? Why it's so cheap, not valuable in the hands of the people? Learning Torah, many people know, wow, it's important, Torah, limud Torah keneged kulam. People who even don't like to learn Torah force themselves to have a chevruta, it's very important, they make all kinds of rules, you know, I shut my phone, I'm learning now, don't call me, say the secretaries, listen, until 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not alive for you, I'm in a different planet. We see there are people who are respecting the learning, but davening, not so much. The answer is, it's come from Choser Emuna. Person has problem in his Emuna. And that reflects on the davening. Let's clarify what I'm saying. When the Emuna is strong and stable, a person feels incredible pleasure speaking to Hashem. There is really sweetness that it cannot be described with words, like mamash feeling like you're already in heaven. And what are you doing? Standing in front of a wall and talking. But your dvekut in these moments to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so strong that your neshama have wonderful pleasure. Now you're all looking at me, what is he talking about? I don't understand what pleasure he's talking about. I gotta rush back to business. Customer is waiting. I gotta finish with the 18. I wanted to galal kadash merabah before you realize. Oh, alenu leshabeach. You know why we have alenu leshabeach in Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah in the middle of the davening? No. Yeah. Why? All year, alenu leshabeach came to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and said, "It's not fair. You stuck me in the end of the davening. Nobody care about me. Everyone already rushed to the bus, to the in the parking. He's already sitting in a car driving and saying alenu leshabeach." Like I'm neglected. Hashem, son, don't worry, I'll make it up to you. I put you in the most important davening of the year, in the middle. Yom Adin, Yom Slicha Omechila, right there in the middle. To make it up, that nobody respect Alenu Leshabeach. Who made Alenu Leshabeach? Yoshua Benun. It starts with Ayin, finish with Dalet, first paragraph. Second one, Ayin and Dalet, Ed ve'ed, Shnei Edim. To testify that everything we say from the beginning to now, it's the truth. That's why he stuck it in the end. There's reason. Alenu Leshabeach in the end. So anyway, so it says like this. If a person has deep and strong emuna, then the actual speaking creates wonderful dvekus between him and Hashem, and there's no screens who separate between him and Hashem. That's why it's fantastic pleasure. That's why you see Rav Kook from Tiberias, that he stands 3 hours with, and you see that he's not in this world. You come, you shoot a gun to his ear, he's not here. Same thing, Rav Moshe Malka, he used to be connected with the Baba Sali. You see, when he prayed, this person is like in a different world. You see, like the one we gave an example, most people, 1, 2, 3, finish and goodbye, right? So, someone that is emuna, is shitchit, is not deep, and he's very deep in a materialistic lifestyle, he's very connected to materialism, then the sweetness of the davening does not exist in his life. The power and the sweetness of davening, he will never feel it. So what's the obstacle? The love to my new watch makes me not enjoy speaking to Hashem. The love to my new car, or to the new beautiful shirts. What kind of, you know how the kids today in yeshiva is learning in the best yeshiva in America. A new kid came to yeshiva. He comes in, he twists. In my own eyes I saw it. He turned his tie. What kind of this? Ben Toira! He worry, what kind of stupid designer from Italy or from Paris? This kind of goy or this kind of goy made that tie. Somebody like this, you expect him to have sweetness in speaking to Hashem. Where these dreams come from, these illusions? That's already show the spiritual level of this person, even if all day sits and read Gemara. He's here, but his heart is not here. A person is not where his legs are. A person is where his mind is. You can be right here and your neshama is in a kotel now. Or in yeshiva. You can do work and your mind is over there. You can be inside the yeshiva and your mind is in Sdom v'Amora. Depend where your mind is. A person can be laying there in some park, relaxing, listening to the birds, right? And then you put headphones on his head and you make him hear all kinds of war, machine guns, helicopters, bombs, people screaming. Oh, I just got a bullet to my heart. And he gets excited and he gets a heart attack and he dies. And then the doctor writes in his autopsy the cause of death, getting tanned in a park. I never heard of someone laying in a park and relaxing and he dies. His body was in a park, but his mind was in Vietnam or in Lebanon. It could be the other way around. Okay, now let's move on. What are the conditions for the davening, for the prayers to be accepted? What prevent our prayers from getting accepted in front of Hashem? Number one, emuna, that the prayers can help you. Condition number one, if a person pray all his life, but he have doubts that this power of the prayer can change his situation, then he won't change his situation. Now it answers many of our problems right now. You're speaking to Hashem, and in the meantime, while you, before, or while you're praying, or after, you're thinking, what's the use? Is it really going to change my situation? You're thinking like this, you're making Hashem very upset, perhaps angry at you. You have doubts in me? When Hashem sent the malachim to Avram and Sarah, Lama tzachaka Sarah? Wow, she's 9 years old, what do you want from her? She's realistic, wow. She's 9 years old, she doesn't have a rechem, never had a kid. You know, you come to her and tell her you have a kid. She's laughing. Well, what's the crime here? Ha'ipale me'Hashem davar. Even against Sarah, Hashem has a strong taina. You dare to laugh when I send a malach to tell your husband you're going to have a baby next year? To talk to Hashem and hoping he's going to listen to us and change our situation and send me the money I need tomorrow for school, and I have doubts in it? It's a much bigger taina. Because that's much more realistic. A woman 9 years old, we understand, it's against the law of nature. So what's the conditions? First, now I'm giving you a list of conditions. First, to believe 100% that every word I say benefits me. And Hashem accept me, whether I'm a tzaddik, whether I'm a rasha, but Hashem can accept my prayer. Okay. Second, do everything I can to have kavana, to surrender. Just like a beggar, a poor person come and take his head off. Can you help me? I need the food tomorrow, Yom Tov. I don't have anything. Please have mercy on me. Come in front of the gvir. That's how a person has to feel that he stands in front of Hashem. Third, has to be me'omek alev. Not thinking about one thing and just making a speech. Just let it get it over with. It has to come from the heart, not min ha'safa lachutz. Some people, it doesn't come from the heart. It just comes from the mouth and goes out. It's not productive. Fourth, to try to do everything you can before you daven, to do tshuva, not only once a year in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Before every davening, before you start, you come into the shul, put your hat, you stand now, and about to say Kaddish, you say in your heart, Hashem, I regret all the chataim I do. Forgive me, please. I want to start fresh with you. I want to be clean. I'm doing tshuva 100% for my heart. And then take money, put in a box. So that's the second condition, tzedakah. And now everything that I mentioned, plus what I'm going to mention now. Sixth one, to add to the davening your own words all the time, to do some kind of a change, not like a robot. Shem satay tiftar, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, like everything is... If you're adding in parts of the davening your own words, like in Rofei Cholim, you can add. In some Sidurim, they have extras. In Shomei Tefillah, you can add all about your situation. You have a boy, he needs something, he needs help. You're looking for chevruta, things that you need. You're looking for business, you need what to do. Help me, should I trust this person or not? Everything that you need to talk to Hashem in your own language, it makes you more focused because it wakes up the heart. If you're just reading something that you read 5 million times already, most likely won't wake up the heart. But if you add your own words, since it's waking up the mechanism of your heart, automatically will help you also with the rest of the Shmona Esrei. Now, number seven, to have in mind, Hashem, I don't deserve anything and I know it. Please, I make it clear. I don't come to ask what I deserve. I already know that I don't deserve anything. But I'm coming to ask you for a donation out of mercy. Matnat chinam. Not because of maschuyot, I'm an important big shot. No, I'm nothing, and I don't deserve even to breathe. And everything you give me, it's a gift, and I know it's a gift, and I know there's no way I can pay you back. And I have the chutzpah to ask for a little more. It helps a lot. Some people say, well, what's going on? All these Rishayim have millions of dollars, and I'm learning in Kollel all day, and you cannot give me? In the middle of the davening, he's thinking. Ah, my Russia cousin in Manhattan making $30 million a year, and I cannot pay my own children yeshiva? Where? What's going on with you? What, you want me to be a tzaddik, or you want to fight against me that I'll be like him? In the middle of the davening, he has a fight with Hashem. He's not planning it, but it happens. Number 8, to focus, to daven in the right time. What does it mean, the right time? For instance, after midnight. The Zohar say, אחרי חצות, הקדוש ברוך הוא יורד לגן עדן להשתעשע עם הצדיקים. It's already turning from judgment into mercy. That's why סליחוס, it's after 12:45. Besides Rav Moshe Feinstein, to the lower east side old people, that בדיעבד allow it, no other posek ever allowed to do סליחות before חצות הלילה. Well, a time of judgment, you come to do סליחות. It has to be in a time of mercy. From time of sunset, once it becomes dark, the Midat Adin entered to the world, it became dark, until Chatzot HaLaila, Jewish Chatzot, it's Midat Adin. Some people ask, can I read Tehillim? Technically, no. From Tzeta Kochavim until Chatzot HaLaila, you shouldn't read Tehillim. But since I deal with so many people, if they don't read Tehillim, they watch television, so then I answer them, of course, read Tehillim all the evening. It comes instead of something much worse, right? So, but other people, you want to read Tehillim, read during the day, or after midnight. Okay, no. So, Be'itot Ratzon, Et Ratzon, or take advantage, month of Elul, Dirshu Hashem Biyoto Karov, Ken, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, or close to Amud HaShachar, which is very strong time, or what is the most important hour of the week? For the davenings to be accepted every week, during not Elul, I'm talking during a year, the most important hour. Very good. Shabbos Mincha, lo na'ana Eliyahu ela b'mincha. It's according to Kabbalah, it's called Ra'ava de Ra'avin, Retzon Ha'Retzonot, the highest moment of the week. That's why Shabbos, Yom Kippur, it's double important. Not only it's Shabbos, Mincha of Shabbos, also Ne'ilah, Tfilat Ne'ilah, once every few years you have this opportunity to spill everything out of your heart and cry like a baby for the entire hour. The Ari say, if you don't cry on Yom Kippur, your neshama is contaminated with lots of stain, lots of dirt. If the neshama is in good condition, you don't need to force yourself to cry. As soon as you hear the words of the vidui of Rabbeinu Nisim, you'll feel that somebody took a knife and sliced your heart to pieces. What is it? What does he say? In the Vidui Agadol, Im avo lefaret et chatai, if I'm going to confess all my sins, hazman ichle vehema lo ichlu, the time in this world would end and the list of my sins will still go on, will not end. And this is a person who lived 700-800 years ago, which I promise you, that never made 1 billionth of the sins that we do. Right? 1 billionth he didn't do. And he writes to Hashem with 100% intention. It's not a game here. If I'm coming to write my sins, the time will end. And the list is still going. And this is a person who gave his life for the Torah. Me and you are not in the Talmud. Probably we won't be. How many people made it into the Talmud? Rashi, Tosfot, him, another 3-4, and that's it. You know how many tens of thousands there were? Somebody who became an integral part of the Jewish Talmud, the most important book in history, that all the halacha comes from it, and he became a part of it. And he writes, Im avo lefaret et chata'ai. If you read this and you don't cry, when are you going to cry? I feel like crying now. This is it. So we move on. Another way to get the davening to be accepted, we all know it, litpalel al azulat. Pray for your friend. You don't have kids. You know another one that doesn't have kids? Pray for him, for his broken heart. Kol ha-mitpalel al chavero na'ana tchila. Hashem will help you first. The Ben Ish Chai say, if you have a friend that is in the same situation like you, you make a deal with him. I pray for you, you pray for me, both of you will get it. It's very good. Exchange. Now, try to pray for something before the tragedy arrives, not after. After it arrives, it's much, much harder to change. A person should pray to Hashem every day, please don't make me sick. Please save me from all the sicknesses. Please save me from the epidemic. Please save me from this and from this virus and for whatever happened. Please save me for this horrible epidemic that every hour I hear that another Jew got cancer. Every hour a new text message. Pray for this, pray for this. Please save me. What? I don't take it for granted that I'm not next. If you pray a lot, it's like preventing it before. It's like taking a vaccine, spiritual vaccine. You ask Hashem, please don't do it to me. Don't do it to me. Don't do it to me. If you plan to give it to you because you deserve it, your prayer prevented. After you got it, it will be a million times harder to get it out. That's why the Gemara says when a person has a chole bebeto, he has a sick person in his house, don't run to the doctor. Run to the chacham. If you say it today, everyone says this rabbi is nuts. Go to the rabbi. What does the rabbi know about medicine? Let's test him if he knows the organs of the body bichlal. He knows about medicine, this rabbi. He knows Gemara. You'll be in your place and the doctor is in his place. Why the rabbis claim they know everything? Why are you misleading the people? The rabbi has to answer in Torah and the doctor has to say in Torah. That's not the point here, bichlal. Nobody claimed that the rabbi knows more besides the Chazon Ish. They apparently somehow knew better than them. But most ordinary people, I didn't learn medicine. I don't know medicine. It's not that. You go to the Chacham to pray for you, to have pain in his heart for you. Now you have somebody else who suffers with you, his chuyot can save you. But it's even better than that. If you already did the MRI, and after you receive the results that your pain is chas v'shalom, this sickness, now you can pray a million times, it won't be as productive. If you pray before you go to the doctor, you have pain. It can be regular pain that will go in a week. Chas v'shalom could be the beginning of your end. So you don't really know. So since you don't know, you begin to cry. You give tzedakah, you write, you have money. You start giving, yeshiva, this, ba'le tshuva, whatever. Do a lot. And then the pain doesn't go away. You go to do an MRI. If you have it, Hashem took it out. Why? It's not Nes Galui. If it's Nes Galui, you're not Avraham Avinu, my friend. Yeah, you're tzaddik, I love you, you everything fine, but you know, not Avraham Avinu. You have cancer, and I'm just going to take it out. You got to suffer now a few months. Or, chas v'shalom, other sicknesses that there's no medicine for it. So if it's you have it, you don't know it yet. The doctor didn't announce it. Nobody knows about it. Hashem takes it out without anyone knowing. Once it became famous, you need now a much, much bigger nes, and usually it won't happen. So that's why do everything before you get the results, not after. Then, Chok Chakak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem made a law that there is nothing in the world that you can accept without praying and requesting for it. Now I know what you're thinking. All the Rishayim, I don't remember that they pray a lot for their Mercedes. The Rasha in Manhattan that drives a Mercedes on Shabbat. How many times he davened for this Mercedes? Probably never. Doesn't even believe in davening. So what are we saying here? The rabbis, they're realistic. They know what they're talking, no? He knows that there's so many Rishayim that have plenty and they never davened for it. So what is he writing? They want to make a fool out of himself. What is he doing? Of course, it's much deeper. The answer is, listen good. Adam ha-makdim tfila, person that say the prayer before, ve-na'ana ketotza'a mitfilato, he gets an answer to his prayer, and Hashem gives him. It's guarantee that the salvation that Hashem sent him is real and for good. There are salvations that are temporary, illusions. It's deeper. Pay attention. It's guaranteed that his Yeshua is amiti. And not Yeshua, not salvation that will bring a bigger problem in a few months, like many times it happens. Someone who receives anything in life without requesting it from Hashem, there is no guarantee that this will stay by him. There is no guarantee he will benefit from it. There is no guarantee that this will destroy. For instance, the same Rasha that I was telling you about, he made millions of dollars. He didn't pray for it. He doesn't believe in Hashem. Doesn't believe. And he gets a lot of money. Most of the time, what do we see? From the minute he became a multimillionaire, his life is destroyed. Divorce, kids into drugs, problem, court, fighting, depression. They're all depressed. So what good is that? Hey, you give a tzaddik, that daven, Hashem, I want to build a great yeshiva. I want to save another thousands of Jews, making them religious. And you pray. 10 years, you cry every day. Oh, one shot, you got $10 million, and now you can make 50,000 balei tshuva this year. This is something that comes and will never be dismissed. And it has a guarantee on it that it will only bring good. It will never bring bad. Why? Because it came after your request. So requesting it from Hashem, it comes with a security. It's sealed, protected. There's no virus in it. Nothing is bad. It's 100% positive. But sometimes when a person receives it without praying for it, osher shamur lebe'alav lera'ato. Not necessarily. If you request it from Hashem for good reasons, it's not lera'ato. If you just got it, most likely lera'ato. Amakdim tfila v'na'ana, someone who pray a lot for something and got it. En yored lo mischuyotav. He doesn't lose from his olam abba. If he got it without crying for it, without requesting it day and night, then it in chas v'shalom be paying lo ba'olam hazeh, like the end of Parashat Vayetchanan, meshalem la'rasha el panav la'avido. Lo a'acher leshalem lo el panav ha'shalem lo la'avido. Rasha doesn't mean Haman. It can be one of us. One day you tzaddik, one day you rasha, one day you tzaddik, one day you rasha, 1 minute you tzaddik, one day you rasha. In the end, Hashem puts you on a scale. Could be 1%, 51% rasha, 49% tzaddik. Ichriya et atzmo lekaf chova. So chas v'shalom, Hashem said, okay, you know what? I owe him a lot. Let's start paying him here. Whoop, all of a sudden, in the last 20 years of his life, everything he touched become gold. You have to cry for it. The tzaddikim, if 30 days didn't have yisurim, they were worried. They started to pick up rocks and clean the roads. What are you doing, Rabbi? Why are you breaking your back? 30 days I didn't have Yisurim. Maybe Hashem paying me in this world. You know the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, everyone cried when they saw him sick. Rabbi Akiva was happy. Until now, I saw your life is a picnic. Everything you touch is gold, blessed, never problem, no losses. I worry, maybe Hashem pay you in this world. Biggest chacham in the world is saying it. Imagine coming to Rav Eliashiv. Oh, Rav Eliashiv, I read in a newspaper that they ask everyone to pray for you, that you don't feel good, you have problems, you know, you went to the doctor, another surgery. Recently, a situation, I go, Baruch Hashem, I'm so relieved now. I'm so happy. Oh, Rabbi, No, up to now, I was worried. My bli ayin hara, 101, no hospitals, no problem, no this, no that. I worry, maybe Hashem pay in this world. This is really what it was. Rabbi Akiva come to him and say to him, but it's in a Gemara. I didn't write it. So what's going on here? It says like this. If you're requesting it from Hashem, he doesn't take it away from your schuyot. Why? Because you brought it to you with mercy and request, and it comes as matnat chinam, just a bonus, gift, not going away from your olam abba. Why? You cry for it, you pray for it, you earned it, it's yours. It's not that I'm taking from your olam abba and give you up front some money here. But if he receives it without efforts, without davening, possible very much that he'll take it, he's actually taking it from his saving. So it's really not getting anything. Something that you had, now you use it. You took it from your bank account, not from someone else. If a person put $1 million aside, it's in a, whatever, in a saving, he closed it, it's in a saving. Now he needs money, he has to make a bar mitzvah, he needs $10,000. He doesn't have. So he come, he pray, oh, he finds it on the street. That's matnat chinam. But if he went to the saving and took it, now he have 990, and he said, ah, you see how Hashem sent me the 10,000, you already had it. That's what he's talking about. Yadua, for ruchnius, and irat shamayim, a person has to beg. This is the answer of the question I asked half an hour ago. We have a rule, everything is bidei shamayim, chutz mirat shamayim. So how do we have permission to ask for irat shamayim from Hashem? Well, we know that many, many pages of the prayers, of the davening, is Chachamim wrote, help me, help us to be tzaddikim, help us this, help us that. So we're asking for Hashem for a lot of ruchnius. There is no contradiction. We know abales litayer mesayim beyado. You want to purify yourself? Hashem is very pleased. He's going to help you. Ask for it and he will help you. In Sefer Hasidim, hundreds of years ago, it says that when a person prays for ruchnius, the Satan has no permission to be mekatreg. You pray for a house, right the way the Satan open your case. A house for this Russia? You want to give him a house in Muncie next to the Rebbe? What? What's going on? Where is the tzedek? Atayel ha'emet v'atzedek, asher lo yisa panim v'lo yikach shochad. What is all this Torah? Where is the justice? Hashem doesn't know what to answer. He's right. He brings cases. Just yesterday he made this avera. 2 hours ago he did this. All day Lashon Hara. This is, he abused his wife. This over here, over there. He gives a list of thousands of your sins. So the good malach said, okay, let me go back. No problem. But the Rasha stand in front of Hashem. Help me to be close to you. Help me to be tzaddik. Make me not lazy. Give me the energy to get up. Give me patience to learn. All these things that he has problems with. The Satan cannot say anything. Huh? You want to be a tzaddik? It reminds me that there's Gabbai is cleaning the shul. And he sees the biggest thief in town. Everyone knows a professional crook. Thief. Breaking into people's houses and robbing them. He comes to the shul in the middle of the day. Open the Aron Kodesh. He's holding the Sefer Torah and crying. Dear Hashem, please give me Ruach HaKodesh. This Gabbai is fuming. Ruach HaKodesh, he wants this Chayeh. I'll show him Ruach HaKodesh. After a few minutes, he sees, really serious. Hashem, please give me Ruach HaKodesh. So he comes to his menuval, Rasha ben Rasha. You want Ruach HaKodesh? Ask Hashem to make you human being. What Ruach HaKodesh? Ganav, everyone here suffer from you in town. After they finish the fight, the Gabbai asked him, tell me, but I'm curious. Why you need Ruach HaKodesh for? What, you're becoming a Baba now? People kiss your hand, you want to make money in an easier way? It's not enough how much you steal? Why you need Ruach HaKodesh? So he tells him, listen, I'll tell you why. When I break into people's house, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night, I come, I'm always nervous. I don't know where the money, in the drawer, in the closet, under the rug. And I'm always worried that the Balabait will come with a knife and I'm going to have to protect myself, and then I stab him, I'll become a murderer. So I'm always worried. Ganav, I can do tshuva. One day I'll have millions, I return everyone back. But murder a person, there's no way. Why? How am I going to return him back to life? So if I have Ruach HaKodesh, as soon as I come into the house, oh, the money is here. I cut the wall and I take the money, 1, 2, 3, before he gets up, I'm out. So the Rav says, this is the mashal. What's the nimshal? What's the nimshal of this story? That a foolish person, he believes in Hashem. He believes in the Torah. He comes to shul and hugs the Torah. So he believes in the Torah. He believes everything comes from Hashem. He is begging Hashem to give him Ruach HaKodesh that he can steal more productively. But he's not asking Hashem, give me parnasa without being a thief. This ergel na'asa teva. Come to Hashem, give me Ruach HaKodesh, help me, crying, holding the Torah. What level of emuna? How many people hug the Torah and cry? But he won't ask, make me a kosher person. Why? Midot Raot is very hard to change. Ergel Nasa Leteva. He doesn't even see. Usually the biggest thieves are the biggest machnisei orchim. The house is always open for guests, coming, eating, thousands of dollars food, to relax their conscience. One of them came to a Rav that I know. He wanted to write a big check before Rosh Hashanah. Told him, I don't want to take your check. You don't want to take my check? He said, yeah, because I know why you're giving me the check. You don't want to do tshuva, so you want to relax yourself by writing a check. I don't want to be a part of your sin. It makes your situation worse. Find somebody else who wants to cooperate with your lies and scam. You want to give it because you want to be a tzaddik? Fine. You give it to relax yourself that you can do even bigger crimes. I'm not interested. It's a part of the scam. What is it like? Someone wants to steal you. So he takes a loan, he pays you back with interest. He takes a loan, he pays you back. Great, interest, large, 50% interest, no problem. Every time he gives you the money, he's really taking your heart away. Because it's a part of the scam, like Madoff. Give me, taking back, give me, taking back, $65 billion. Everyone begging him to give him money. Playing hard to get, a part of the scam. Then it says like this, better to pray from the Sidur, unless if you have moments of inspiration that you are seeing the light, that you can close your eyes and focus and feel that you're very close to Hashem, better to close the eyes and continue with the davening. But other than that, look inside the Sidur. Then, even if a person cannot have Kavana, according to Kabbalah, not the Pshat, the Sifre Mekubalim says that everything, that every word that a person says without Kavana, he has no Kavana. He daven, 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 no Kavana. Every once in a while, when he has one prayer with great Kavana, it brings all the prayers that did not have Kavana, they were all on hold, pending, on hold. It attaches everything to it and goes together. So it means, it's not that it's lost. You didn't have Kavana, you had bad Kavanot, you're thinking about other things. You're davening now, and you don't remember one word on the davening. But don't worry, a week from now you have a moment of broken heart and you're very close to Hashem and you cry, everything is attached. If all year you didn't have Kavana, you're a robot. You come, you say, and you run away outside. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, everything is delivered. So one way or the other, it's just a delay, but it's not dismissed. Time is running out, let me just finish here. We have this say that we say in the Brit Mila, Lev nishbar venitke, Elokim lo tifze. Broken heart, Hashem will never turn down. But then we know that it's not permitted to be said. Ivdu et Hashem besimcha. You're not allowed to be depressed. The way of the Satan to bury a person is, first he make him make the sin, and then he comes and make him sin even worse by making him depressed for 3 days. Why are you not learning today? Why Chavruta is standing alone in a Beit Midrash? I'm depressed, I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? I made such a big Avera last night. I can't. I'm not worthy of learning Torah. Believe me, what's the point? I'm going to be a faker, open the Gemara now, like this. Hashem knows who I am. Forget it, 3 days. I have to start. I need a few days of, you know, to get out of my depression. This is what the Satan was planning in the beginning. Let him do this Avera, that now I'm going to gain the actual 3 days of depression. Even a Navi, if he becomes angry, he loses Nevuah immediately. Or if he becomes depressed, sad, he cannot have Nevuah. Hashem cannot talk to him. So the sadness who comes after the Avera is worse than the actual Avera. Two things that comes after the Avera are worse than the actual Avera. One is sadness, and the second one is, Hineni nishpat otach al omrech lo chatati. Chutzpah. I'm okay, ani tzadik. Lo chatati. It's really not a sin. What? You just spoke Lashon Hara about the person. It's not Lashon Hara, everybody knows. It's not Lashon Hara. Believe me, ask him, you see, he would agree, he would admit. Oh, the Chafetz Chaim say, if 3 people heard it, it's permitted. But when someone do it to you, You don't care so much about the three people. Huh? That's what's going on. So it says like this. The difference between sadness and a broken heart is very, very thin. But there is a serious difference. What's the difference? How do you know if now you are depressed and sad and you're crying like this in the davening, or that you really have a broken heart? It's almost no difference in feelings. How do you know? Listen good. The answer is, if after you finish crying with a broken heart to Hashem, you feel great happiness, a relief. It's like, wow, I was reborn now. I feel such a relief. That's a sign that you davened in a positive way with a broken heart. But if you continue to be depressed, then it's depression. Mara shchora. That's a sin. So it's almost it's like Aiva, Hava and Taiva. Feels almost the same. But one start with Aleph, one start with Taf. One with the first Aleph, and one, it feels the same. All this Chilonim, I love you, and you have Ta'adetz, it's all Ta'avot. It's no love. He said to the Goya, I love you. What Goya, a Jew can connect to her? It's no love. Love is spiritual. It can never be. But it feels like it. But that's why Hashem made it sound the same. Ahava, Ta'ava. Almost the same, but a huge difference. One is the beginning, one is the last, the end. This is it. Tov me'at bekavana ubetachnunim ubibchiya me'arbe shelo bekavana. What's better? 2.5 hours te'ilim like a robot. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Shresh v'betecha, shresh v'betecha, yal chasela. $50 I'm losing now. $100 od yal chasela, lamnatzeach. This is better. Or 20 minutes. With focusing, with broken heart, paying attention to the world, feeling connection with Hashem, million times better. Hashem is not interested in quantity, quality, quality. 1 minute of quality is bigger. They were collecting mitzvot for a kid in yeshiva that was sick. So one guy comes with a list. Moishi, what do you donate? I do 5 pages of Gemara for his refuah shleima. Okay, very good. Moishi, 5 pages of Gemara. Binyamin, what do you do for him? I'm going to do for him, I give $1,000 tzedakah for him, Bezrat Hashem, he's going to come out of his sickness. No, what do you do? I read the whole Tehillim for him. What do you do? 1 week I will fast, Ta'anit Dibur, learning without talking, no phone, no nothing, just for him. No? So he comes to the Rosh Yeshiva, he says, Rabbi, what are you giving him? So he's thinking, he says, oh, I'll give him 1 minute of my learning. So he said to him, Rabbi, look at the list. 5 days, 1 week, this, $1,000. 1 minute, you cannot give your Talmud one? Do you know what I do in 1 minute? You know how much I give him in 1 minute? My minute is a minute. Your minute is a second. How many people that are sitting in yeshiva 10 hours a day and receiving a salary really learn 2 hours net? After taking away phone call, coffee, cigarettes, lunch break, this, coming out, in, thinking about all kinds of things, how much really they learn? 2 hours? 3 hours? Ooh, wow. What an achievement, 3 hours. Really, if we be honest, many people, they just warm the chair in the yeshiva. They can't find a job. They don't want to upset their parents. They want to get a good shidduch. So they go to Lakewood, they see. Here and there, they have steiging, they enjoy. Most people are doing it because it's a way of living. How am I going to get a shidduch? What? I'm going to go and work in a deli, putting kugel in a thing, and they're going to give me a good shidduch? No, it's going to be very hard. That's not Torah lishma. That's Torah for the sake of your stomach. Alevai v'itpalel adam kol hayom. The Gemara in Brachot say, the more he davens, the better it is. There's no rules. What do you mean? There are 3 times a day. No. You drive in a car. There are 2 kinds of Jews. One drives in a car, 2 hours traffic on the way to work. He sells jewelry in Manhattan. So all the way bumper to bumper, he has Tehillim. He talks to Hashem, help me, I want to be closer to you. He listens to Divrei Torah, very good. The other Jew, 10-10 news. Every 10 minutes, hear the same nonsense. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Okay, one time, you're curious, you're not a holy tzaddik, fine. But why 15 times until you get to work? That's why I don't understand. Forget religion. even a secular goy. Now, how many times you can hear the same thing? Breaking news. You just heard it 5 minutes ago. Why? Not in lo yun. There's no yun on the life. Nothing. So talk to Hashem in your own language. Actually, the best davening is when you're alone in a car, especially at night. You drive, Palisades, you come back from Shabbos, Brooklyn. You talk to Hashem, you cry, you're not embarrassed, nobody is there. In a shul, you're embarrassed. Man, all your friends going to say, hey, Moishi, you became a tzaddik. What is all these tears now? You become the new Rebbe? What's going on here? But here, alone in a car, you can scream, you can do whatever you want. Nobody is there. You and Hashem. You don't need to go to the forest and scream, Abba, save me. You don't need all this show off. You can do it in the middle of 18. You put your talis on your head and you cry. Then, after the decree was sealed, does it pay to daven? Let's say you have Ruach HaKodesh. Or you live in a generation of the Arizal. And the Ari told you it's a decree. That's it, finish. I know Hashem made this decree. There's nothing can be changed. Does any point of continue to ask for Hashem to dismiss it or no? What do you think? The answer is, believe it or not, yes. Why? We learn from Chizkiyahu. Hashem made a decree on Chizkiyahu. Tell the Navi, go tell him he's going to die, to prepare. It's a decree already. Hashem is not a liar. You're going to die. And the Navi came and said, get ready, you're dead. And what happened? He turned his face to the wall and started to daven, asked the Navi, ask Hashem, forgive. And Hashem accepted it after the decree was made and gave him 15 more years of life. From here we learn, אפילו חרב מונחת על צווארו של אדם, אל תתייאש מן הרחמים. Another second, they chop the head off, you never know, something can happen. They never know. I had a guy, you gotta hear this story. Maybe 10 years ago he came to me for Yom Kippur. I met him in the lectures I used to give in Brooklyn Wednesday night, starting 8:30 at night until 5, 6 in the morning. A marathon. At 1 o'clock, all these Israelis who went to places in Sodom and Gomorrah in Manhattan, now on the way back from Sodom, they stop in the lecture. 1 o'clock. 1:30, up, another group. Some already went home. A new group came. So this guy, an Israeli guy, drive a fancy Lexus. You see, he has a lot of money. He's young, 22, 23 years old. I see he's spiritual, this guy. He's listening to the lecture. And I said, why don't you come to Yom Kippur? Come to Mansi, you see what the Yom Kippur is. Yeah, why not? Okay, so now we have a group of kids, they come to Mansi. He comes to me after the davening of Ma'ariv, I think 12 o'clock at night, we sit in the deck, and I talk to him. And then he said to me, wow, I'm so inspired. He begins to talk, and he says, wow, God has been so great to me. You don't know what a miracle I had. I said, what? He said, let me tell you, you know, between me and you, you know how I made all my money? What? I'm a drug dealer, a messenger. Or messenger, what messenger? They tell me, go to this place, Florida, Los Angeles, get a suitcase, get on the buses, don't go on a plane, because, you know, they have cameras. You go on the buses, you bring a suitcase with you, you come from LA, 1 week you're on buses, you come to New York, you give it to a person, $20,000 cash. Next week you go to this place, $10,000 cash. Makes a lot of money. They say, okay, I go to Los Angeles. They give me the suitcase. I drive. Then I think he came to Pennsylvania, he has to change a bus. Just when I get on the last bus to come to New York, they stop the bus. FBI gets on the bus, they come, flashlight like this, everyone ID please, ID, ID. And he's the last person in the bus, sitting in the end of the bus on the left side. They're starting to come close to him. That's it, another minute his life is over. 20 years in jail. 50,000 drugs, pills he has inside. 20 years minimum in federal prison. 22, your life is finished. When you're going to get married, when you have children, it's it. Death sentence. 20 years in prison, better to die than to be in prison here. 20 years. The guy comes to him, looks at him. Now the policeman looked at him. So he looks at him and says, what do you have there over there in a suitcase? He says, my stuff, my personal stuff. He says, get it out, open it. Think about it. He go, everyone showed him ID. Open it. So he packed the suitcase. You know, of course, he's doing everything he can slow. Maybe. He put it on a chair. He opened the zipper. Now another 2-3 seconds, and the head is chopped off. He's about to pick it up. What can you do? Another policeman came in the bus. We got him. Come quick. So you're good. He turned around, ran, they all ran like crazy. They were looking for somebody, a fugitive, something. He said, for 3 hours, my hands were like this. If you know how my heart was beeping, like crazy, hundreds. I couldn't, he said, when I took my head down, I said, Hashem, if you save me from this situation, I'll be the biggest tzaddik for you. That's why I started to come to the lecture. No, so he got saved. That was the good news. What's the bad news? After a few weeks, after Yom Kippur and everything, I see he doesn't come to the lectures anymore. He met a girl, not religious. He brought her to the shiurim. She became Shomer Shabbat. So now they want to get married. They went to Eretz Israel to get married. Their family is in Eretz Israel. Something, a week before the wedding, he found out something about her. I don't want to say in front of the camera. And he had to break the engagement. They broke the engagement. Now he's very depressed. He thought he's getting married and this. So now, while he's in Eretz Israel, 35 of his group, the gang, you know, they're all, there's boss, and they're all connected. They got arrested. The FBI were listening to them, recording them. All of them got arrested in Brooklyn. One person from Brooklyn called him up and said, don't dare to return to America, you're crazy. You land here, you're finished. You don't know what you got saved from. They're all finished. All of them are, they're all, the recording, they have everything on them. You don't know how lucky you are that you went. You're the only one they didn't catch. Two miracles so far. 3 months is in Israel. There's no parnasa. You make $10,000-$20,000 a month, $30,000 doing nothing. What is he doing in Israel? So yes, a few $100,000 he saved. But the Yetzer Hara is telling him, so he called up a lawyer here in New York. Here is my name. Please check if I'm requested by the FBI. The lawyer gets back to him and says, no, there's no record. You're not wanted. Soon as he arrived here in Kennedy Airport, she should see what happened in a terminal. Everyone run, turn, put your hand behind your back, take on the floor, handcuffs, this. 6 years in federal prisons. I am sending him books without the cover. Because, you know, you cannot send cover to jail. You have to take it out of the cover. That's what happened. He was in prison 6 years. He went back to Israel, and still there's no parnasa. Why Hashem in the end put him in jail? Because he left the religion. When he was becoming Baal Tshuva, first he made this neder, you get me out of there, it's worth it for Hashem. What, is preferred that's going to sit 20, 25 years in prison? So he made a promise. Hashem said, okay, let's see. He started to come to Shiurim, became Shomer Shabbos, came here, daven with the yeshiva. I even saw him crying nonstop. They took away his jacket. I said, it's probably shatnez, it's an expensive suit he comes. He doesn't know what shatnez is. Better you daven without the jacket. You cry 25 hours, in the end nothing is accepted because of your stupid jacket. So the guys, then he met the girl. He made her also Shomer Shabbos. We're going in the right way. And then go back to zero, ended up in jail. You should see how he was calling collect from the jail, wanted to kill himself. And that was his end. Mamash, 5 more minutes and we're finished. So once the decree is made, there is still a way to change it. We learn it also besides Chizkiyahu from the mothers of the Jewish nation. They were all barren. There was a decree that they won't have kids. And they pray. And in the end, everything turned around. Now, we have a problem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us Yisurim, suffering, we spoke 2 lectures about suffering. They're very popular on the website, these 2 lectures. I guess everyone suffers, so everyone wants to know what the Torah has to say. So if Hashem sends you suffering, we have to be consistent with what we say. We cannot say 1 minute right, the next minute left. It has to be in the right direction. We just say all the time, everyone say from Chazal until now, that Yisurim is the best thing that a person can get. It erases all the sins. Tshuva and Yisurim is the best thing that a person can have. The more Yisurim, the less problems you have in the afterlife. So what's the problem? So it's good. You like it, you don't like it, who cares? But it's at least it's helping, it's cleaning you. Very good. No. But then in the davening, what are we praying? Save me from this, save me from that, take away my sickness, I can't take this pain anymore, send me parnasa, how long I'm going to be poor. Everyone complain about the Yisurim and begging Hashem to take it. Maybe we're making a sin by praying for the Yisurim to go away. Maybe we should say, thank you Hashem, send some more pain to my back. Now I can still bend down, come on. Send something more that I won't be able to move. Why not, if it's good, be consistent. What is this? You're a hypocrite. 1 minute like this, 1 minute like this. Depend on the mood. The answer is, we have permission to ask, but not to push too much. Everything else, ruchnius, spirituality, be a nudnik, non-stop. Hashem, Hashem, I want. You saw the tzaddik in Vishnitz, how he scream and jump. He doesn't give up. 50 years already, no? No problem, that's the right way. Yesurim, it's enough. You read it, save me from this, and that's finished. He wants to save you, fine. No, no. Why? If you push, yeah, he take away your Yesurim, because he accepted the tefillah. He gives you something worse. So what did you do by that? Yamir lo et onsho be'acher. So what's the point? We'll replace it with another punishment. And one more eitzah. Hashem, take away my Yesurim. Take it away, but don't send me other ones instead. That's also a part of the tefillah. So if Hashem has to send you the Yisurim, ignore your request for the next 20 years. 20 years later, he take away the Yisurim. Some people sovlim michasidut yetera. Now all of you chasidim, but chasidim is not what you think it is. You ask a person today, what a chasid is, black hat, fair hat on Shabbos, long coat, beard, peos, this, that, chasidut, and you know, kugel on Shabbos. No, this is chasidus, no, l'chaim, tish, the Rebbe, you know, dancing and Purim. He'll give you a list of 30, 40 things. You understand, that's chasidus. None of the things that I mentioned appear in Misilat Yesharim of the Ramchal that explain what a real chasid is, none of it. What is really chassidut? There's two kinds of chassidut. Real chassidut and fake chassidut. Most of us, with no exception, are dreaming that we are chassid. Dreaming. What does it mean? It's called chassidut yetera. For instance, he repeats every word 3-4 times in a davening. No, I didn't say it right. Again and again. Netila 15 times. No, not again. This one, this one. Mikveh, 500 times. It's not enough once. In and out, it's enough. You're pure already. That's it. You're either pure or not. There's no in between. No, no. Like this, that. Okay, no problem. Then he comes to yeshiva, 2 weeks. Baal tshuva, 2 weeks he's in yeshiva. 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago he had earring, long hair, ripped jeans. Now he's in yeshiva. 2 weeks later, already have a black hat. This, okay, no problem. What they serve wafers. Cake and lunch. People cook for the yeshiva. No, no, I don't touch this anymore. What is this? Here, eat dessert. No, no, it's bad. I wanna be 2 weeks. There's no foundation, no anything. 2 weeks later, since he doesn't touch wafers anymore, he doesn't eat cream cake, he fast, he already do tikkun chatzot. 1 month, it's the fourth Shabbos he keep. He already see it, he read in some book, tikkun chatzot, in the middle of the night, he come, he takes the Torah, sit on the floor, pretend it's the Baba Sali. What happened in the end? 2-3 months later, you see him in Hilton on the beach with Christine, his girlfriend. What happened? The rabbis, fake. I didn't like this, I didn't like this. This is the way of the Satan. He makes you hallucinate that you are the big rabbi. Soon you're going to have your own chassidus. The rabbi is not a tzaddik anymore. I see it with my own Baalei Tshuva. 2-3 weeks later, they already begin to know, they don't even know how to read one word in Rashi. They already have a speech. Why you don't do like this? Why you don't do like this? Why this is not? How come you're not doing this? How come this Rebbe is like this? How come this Rebbe that he's talking about, he knows the whole Torah, every Gemara, everything. And you know, already, mamash, the big. So, this is the answer, and we'll finish with that. The other way, maybe we'll do another shiur to explain the source of every bracha in the Sidur. Another shiur one day. Davar Rishon, first thing, everyone has to check if his chassidut comes from the Yetzer HaTov or come from the Yetzer Hara. Come from the Yetzer HaTov or come from the Yetzer Hara. How do we know? If a person is a real chassid, then he's a chassid in everything with no exception. Because chassidut comes from very big, strong love to Hashem. Person is very careful, he has big irat shamayim, which means he will not allow himself to do any sins, any. If he is good with one or two and three things, he's pretending he's the holy Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the next thing is watching dirty movies, what kind of chassidut is this? Go to the mikveh 6 in the morning, 500 times, on Shabbos he's doing this and this and this, I don't know. So where is it? So it says like this. If you see that you're not makpid in many other things, you mezalzel, that's not important, that's not important. Not only there is no chassidut here, it's all fake. If you are real chassid, you are chassid in everything. Chassid means lifni mishurat adin. It bothers you very much. And you are consistent all the time, not 1 hour like this, the next thing you eat safek taref. You come to a wedding, who's the mashgiach here? The rabbi from En Harod, from the kibbutz. Who? No, don't worry, it's good. It's a rabbi here. What rabbi? Maybe the certificate is kosher. You can eat the paper. Everything there is taref. But now he's hungry. Looks around. He's not a chassid. Tomorrow in yeshiva in front of everyone, he's a very big chassid. Gets angry. Why are you eating this? It's not Chal of Israel. Wow, you're Russia. Don't, be careful. They call him, what do you think about this bachur? Should I get my daughter to marry him? No, he's a big Rasha. I saw in my own eyes, he eat ice cream, chalav akum, I saw. And he is doing sins that is a billion times worse every day. But he's a chassid in two or three things, and he lives in illusion. But it's already a different topic. We should know, one of the ways that you know if a person is Baal Gaiva, is how long is Marich betfilato. I saw from a big gadol, he say, if you are in a level, like I mentioned before, Rav Kook, you big Mekubal, you daven the Sidur HaRashash. You saw the Sidur HaRashash? One word, 4 pages of Kavanot. That's already a different level of Avodat Hashem. You need 3 hours. If you pray from the Sidur, the biggest Gdolim in the world, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Steinman, Rav Vosner, Rav Ovadia, Rav Kanievsky, Rav Ben Zion, Rav Shaul, Alav Shalom, 5 to 7 minutes. You are better than them. The Gdole Ador don't have tzitzit with blue. When he's going to put, of course I'll put. That means that one needs to be done. If the Gdole Ador that everybody asks him about this blue 500 times a week did not find it to change his tali to blue, that means he wasn't convinced that it's the right blue. Why do I have to now read the entire history where they bring this chilazon blood from? Rav Eliashiv read it, Rav Vosner read it, let's check. Here, let's go to his Bet Midrash. He did it? No problem. He didn't do it, I'm going to do it? That's baloney. It's not real chassidut, it's stam. Same thing many other things. The biggest chacham in the world, what, he doesn't know what people say? Why is not convinced? Because it's not important. Same thing now, there's a new style, tefillin, black on both sides. Everyone, one or two made it up, everyone now pay an extra $50 just to get retzuot, black on both sides. I'm not saying it's not good because it's the Vilna Gaon, it's Kabbalah, at least there is a source here. But if, for instance, if I'm a chassid, if my Rebbe, which is a Talmid Chacham, if his tefillin is not like this, I won't dare to do like this. Same thing I read in a book, that if you come to do netil after the bathroom, and you makpid to do it with the kli, makpid, but the Rosh Yeshiva just came out of the bathroom with you, and he did like this. The Rosh Yeshiva, because the bathroom doesn't need kli, really. Doesn't need. go like this, it's fine, lechatchila, no problem. And you are makpid, and everyone's standing in line to use the faucet. And he did like this, you're not allowed to use the kli.
In front of him.
Maybe you pretend that you have something to do. You go and you come back 2 minutes later. Why? There is rules. There's all kinds of things. Why? The Yetzer Hara convinces you that you're in a very high level, and in the end, like Rav Ovadia say, Mirov shemachmir niya chamor. From looking for chumros, become a donkey.